Well, it's been a very, very active week in terms of investments, in terms of financial developments, and we have plenty to talk about. The week closed out with the S&P 500 just a shadow below its all-time record historic closing high, which occurred back on the 1st of March at 2395. Right now it stands at 2384, just 11 points shy of that early March closing high of 2395. The Dow Industrials stand at 20,940, and they're just a bit below their all-time record high back in early March. So the markets continue to perform very, very well. And obviously all kinds of news coming out this week, including the advance estimate, the first estimate of real gross domestic product in the first quarter of 2017. And of course, this is the first quarter. Most of this quarter came under the new regime in Washington. So everybody was anxious to see whether there would be any increase in the growth rate. However, it went the other way. The real gross domestic product increased a 0.7% annual rate in the first quarter, and that is the slowest rate of growth in 3 years. Now, the previous quarter, back in the fourth quarter of last year, came in with an annualized growth rate of 2.1%. And also, if you look at all of 2016 on a year-over-year basis, it came in right around that 2% level. So no question about it, there was a deceleration in personal consumption expenditures in the first quarter of this year. There were declines in investment in inventory. There were declines in government spending. Now, there were some offsets to this, which is why we came in with a positive number, albeit a very minor positive of 0.7%. We saw an increase in capital expenditures, and we saw an increase in residential investment. So that was the big story on what happened in the first quarter. We had heard a lot of propaganda from some quarters that we were going to see increased growth as a result of the administration change. That did not happen. We'll have to see what happens for the rest of the year. One thing is for sure, in recent years, there's been a tendency for the first quarter to be light. We've had a series of light first quarters in recent years, and that certainly has continued in the first quarter of 2017. So we'll see what happens for those that have been relying on fiscal stimulus this year. Well, even if there is fiscal stimulus that comes out of Washington, it's going to take a while because, first of all, the legislation has to pass the Congress. So far, it's been extremely difficult to get legislation this year past Congress. The one thing that they did this past week is they agreed to extend the funding of the government for 1 week. Now, given the fact that they really have been having a very difficult time agreeing on any legislation, it actually was an achievement for Congress this week to agree to extend the funding of the government for 1 week. But in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't seem like that great an accomplishment to keep the government going for 1 week. And of course, they're going to have to revisit that this coming week because that 1 week period will expire at the end of this coming week. So we'll see what happens with that. But there's no doubt that if you're looking for fiscal stimulus to help the economy, you're probably looking at 2018 as a beginning point for fiscal stimulus to have any measurable impact on the economy because, first of all, we don't have legislation that is on anybody's desk yet for fiscal stimulus. Second of all, we obviously don't have the vote in favor of such a package since the package itself doesn't exist yet. And third of all, it takes time to bring on fiscal stimulus spending, the actual spending. So it's starting to look more and more like if you're looking at fiscal stimulus, you're probably looking at least 2018 and maybe beyond. Unlikely you're going to see much fiscal stimulus impact on the U.S. economy in 2017. Now, of course, there are going to be those in Congress that will argue the other side of fiscal stimulus, and they're going to say, well, wait a minute. The Federal Reserve chair says we're basically at full employment, around 4.5% unemployment, and also that we have almost reached the 2% target rate on inflation as measured by the Fed's favorite measure. And so there will be those in Congress that'll push back and say, well, wait a minute. Why would we do fiscal stimulus when we have full employment in the economy, when we have inflation reaching the target level in the economy? And also, how will fiscal stimulus be paid for if we're going to spend money on additional projects? Where is that money going to be offset so as not to increase the deficit? You have all of these balls in the air. So the bottom line on all of this is that fiscal stimulus, so far, it's not there. Will it come later this year in terms of legislation? Possibly. Will it impact this year's GDP? That is quite unlikely, because by the time it is passed, which could be late this year, there won't be much time left. And it does take time, as I say, to put these projects in motion. You know, they use this shovel-ready bromide sometimes when they talk about fiscal stimulus. But the reality is there are not that many projects that are shovel-ready that are sitting around. It's a process, so it takes some time. So all of that coming out this week, the very, very soft growth rate in annualized gross domestic product. We saw the employment cost index go up 0.8% in the first quarter. That is the biggest increase. Believe me, the Fed is watching this. That is the biggest increase in the employment cost index since the fourth quarter of 2007. The culprits pushing up the cost of employing people. The culprits included wages and salary gains, and it also included benefits. In fact, benefits went up 0.7%, and wages and salaries went up 0.8%. So, not that surprising, because we are at full employment. And that's something that creates increased activity on wages, salaries, and benefits. Not that shocking, in fact. Bottom line in all of this is the Fed will have to watch. We don't have a problem today, but the Fed will have to watch the inflation indicators to see what is going on out there, because one of the biggest factors in future inflation is employment costs. Now, on a year-over-year basis, the employment cost index is up 2.4%. 2.4%. Now, keep in mind, the Federal Reserve target is at 2% for inflation. Obviously, employment costs are, albeit a major factor, only one factor in the inflation equation. But the bottom line in all of this is, even though it's not a problem right now, it's something that the Federal Reserve is going to have to continue to monitor. Meanwhile, we're seeing a continuation of the positive consumer sentiment that we've been talking about. The Reuters University of Michigan Wolverine Consumer Sentiment Index dropped 1 point from its preliminary estimate to 97 for the month of April, but that's still a big number. That's still a big, big number. And the irony here is this. We've been seeing these high levels of consumer sentiment, but they have not yet translated into a pickup in consumer spending growth. Now, Some would say, well, it's a matter of time, but we've given it some time and it hasn't happened yet. But there's no question that the consumer sentiment index readings have been quite good indeed. So all of that happening this past week, we saw a slight increase in durable goods orders announced. Durable goods, the hard stuff, picked up 0.7% in the month of March. That's three consecutive monthly gains. And the previous month was upwardly revised to 2.3%. Now, the big driver here is defense aircraft orders. They were up 26%. So obviously that was a big factor in what's going on with durable goods. If you take out defense, there was a small uptick of 0.1% for the month. So all of this going on out there at this point. Jobless claims continue to behave so well. We've said for 2 years now, we've had really good news on initial claims for unemployment insurance. Now this week, they ticked up 14,000, but they're still real low at 257,000. That's where they stand right now. And the four-week moving average, we watch this really close because there are week-to-week aberrations in the figure. But the four-week moving average is down to 242,250. That's the second lowest reading since the autumn of 1973. Think about it. The second lowest reading in initial claims for unemployment insurance on the Holy Grail, the four-week moving average, second lowest reading in over 43 years. Imagine that. No question, that's a good thing.